Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hockey PC, stands for podcast, not for penalty corner. During World Cup, we're going to talk about the World Cup. And let's start with me. I'm Floris Geerts. I'm the commentator for Belgian television for Play Sports, which broadcasts the World Cup. And our the panel is filled up with some major talent. Let's start with Tobias Walter, former national team goalie for Germany. Tobias, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Are you stressed for this podcast?
Not at all.
Okay, I know somebody who's stressed to talk on podcasts, and his name is Kevin De Martinez. He's a former South African player and now a head coach of Gantois Women. Hi, Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. A little bit stressed. I don't like this kind of thing, but, yeah, but it's a challenge.
You're the guy who initiated it, so.
Yeah, I think it's nice to do something around hockey. There's not enough, so let's do it.
Okay. And then last but not least, Pascal Kina, former head coach of the Belgian national team with the women, who was at the World Cup in Malaysia in 2002 with the men's team. Pascal, how are you?
Perfect.
Okay. Great. Perfect. That's nice. So any topics you guys want to talk about? Yeah, people can't see it, but there is actually a topic board on the big screen, and it says we're going to talk about our predictions. Who are the favorites for this tournament, Tobias?
Looking back on the last tournaments, I would definitely say Australia, Belgium, and for the rest we have to see. Oh. There was after watching a lot of games in the past, no real consistency from other teams, from other nations. So it's going to be a big surprise.
So it's an open tournament.
Yes. For the, let's say for the top five of the world, it's open tournament. But besides that, I don't think we see a lot of surprises.
Okay. Do you agree, Kevin?
Yeah, I don't see too many teams getting into the final. I'm just surprised.
Only two.
I'm
only
just surprised Toby didn't say India, because he said India would win champ with the World Cup. So
as I said, they're top five. Huh?
He didn't say win, eh? But no, I think Belgium Australia final.
Okay. Belgium Australia. And Pascal, do you agree? Because that's the one I penned down in my preparation.
Yeah, I think everybody sees him as a favorite of the tournament. I think you have just below them, you have India and Germany. I put Germany also in there. And then just below those two teams, I put the Netherlands and even England. I think they could be a surprise maybe in the tournament.
But England always ends up fourth in the tournaments.
Yeah, they often do, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't believe in the Netherlands. Maybe that's a bit controversial to say. And it's not because I'm Belgian and we always have some rivalry going on with the Netherlands. But this time around, I don't really believe in the Dutch team, because they're quite inexperienced. They had a great Pro League last season, but I think they were, maybe over efficient, because they scored basically every chance they had. And I think they had momentum going on. I don't see it going on during this World Cup. What do you guys think?
Well, I think they were in a certain flow with a new coach, and there was a good dynamic in the team. But I think what is important to win a tournament is to have a good PC and a good keeper. And there you have, not all the teams, they have that. Yeah, you see Holland, for instance, I don't rate the keepers really high. And they have a good PC, but even the PC, Jip Janssen often have difficulties in the big moments to score. So that's why I also don't rate them too high. Mm-hmm. But when you see the top teams like Australia, they have good PC with Govers.
Good goalie.
Sorry?
Good goalie.
And a good goalie. Belgium the same. Find Germany also. That's why I put them also high, because they have with Pelat, really a specialist. Mm-hmm. And
but is his corner still at the level it was in 2014, 2016?
Yeah, and Germany have always struggled to have good goalkeepers. So.
Yeah, but I find that Sadler is not a bad keeper.
No, it's just a joke.
And Tobias just showed him the birds.
So yeah, so those three teams, and he also has a good PC offense, and Germany, maybe Pelat is a little bit less than in the past, maybe, but we'll see it. Mm-hmm. But they have Grambusch that also has a good flick.
No, so don't forget Windfeder.
Windfeder,
He was getting much better now in the tournament they played in Spain. So they have three threats on the top circle. Not a lot of countries have this.
What kind of player is Lucas Windveder? Is it better when he has less pressure on the top of the D? Because now you have Gonzalo Perlat, who's basically number one, and you're maybe.
I wouldn't say Perlat is number one. It always depends who's on the field, and I know Gramos has a really good one and a really hard one to predict. They all have different strengths. And that makes them unpredictable. And you will see not every corner will go to Bayard.
Okay.
A lot of teams will probably think that out of experience. I mean, he shot Argentina to the gold medal. So, yeah, that's going to be their advantage.
Okay. Who's going to win? Who's everybody's favorite for the gold medal for the trophy?
Australia.
What do you say?
Why Australia?
Uh-huh. I just think we haven't seen much of them in the past. I think they had good preparation, and I think it's a team that you can't underestimate. I think they've got something to prove.
I think they were maybe the best team of the last 6 years, although Belgium became Olympic champion and world champion. I think at the World Cup, Australia was playing the best hockey at the World Cup 5 years ago, 4 years. They won every tournament they played, except for that World Cup and the Olympics. They won the last Champions Trophy. They won the Pro League. They won Sultan Hasan Shah. They won the Oceania Cup. They won every time they entered the tournament. They won, but they lost on shootouts in the semifinals at the World Cup, and lost the Olympic medal, gold medal, also on shootouts. I think people, especially here in Europe, in Belgium, everybody say, yeah, Belgium's the best team that was the last couple of years, but I don't really see it. For me, Australia was the best team, but Belgium won the tournaments. That's maybe.
Australia is the most consistent team over the last 30 years. Huh?
Yeah.
Like, I think they have been once out of the top three of the world ranking, and most of the times they were one or two.
Mm-hmm. So I think maybe also Belgium's a little bit predictable. They've been doing the same thing for a while now, and it works because they've got so much quality, but maybe a little bit predictable. And if they can change something during the tournament, then I think they can challenge to win. But if they can do that, we'll wait and see.
Mm. Pascal, who's your clear favorite to win the tournament?
Yeah, of course, it's between Australia and Belgium. But I think Belgium, they have a lot of experience. And what we don't know is how fit are they compared to 4 years ago. That's it. And we know Australia will be fit. We know they play an offensive game, really attractive game to watch also. Mm-hmm. They go all the time for as many circle entries possible. So, but Belgium has their structure and of course they're predictable, but yeah, they're so good defensively. They're so well organized, and the experience that they talk about is a huge thing. Mm.
I think the best thing that happened to Belgium the last couple of months was losing against Argentina and Germany in the Pro League. I think it was an eye opener for everybody because they were really poor those first two games.
But it's right. Yeah. I think it's right. But if Anash is in a great form, well, it's going to be hard to score against him. And Hendricks has a really good PC, you know. So,
but doesn't Belgium rely too much on the penalty corner of Alexander Hendricks?
Yeah, but they win with that. So,
yeah. But imagine he got that injury he got at the Olympics, where he got hit by a stick on his head. Imagine it was a tournament-ending injury. Then Belgium has some difficulties because everybody's defending so hard against them. For me, they rely too much on the penalty corner.
They still have good flickers, though. Huh? I mean,
yeah, Tombeau,
maybe Louis they Clapp, need one or two attempts more.
Yeah.
But if this would have been the case and they would have missed Hendricks in the Olympics, also the mindset of the team would have changed. Yeah. Like, they knew, okay, he's coming back. So they didn't have to worry about this. And if they know he's not coming back, then you know they're going to change something. Then they probably play a bit more variations or whatever. They maybe need two attempts more to score. Then also the strikers know, okay, we have to win more PCs because they need more attempts. But then I think the mindset would have changed.
Okay. So Belgium, Australia, definitely final, and everybody agrees. Okay,
No. I don't think so, because I think Germany could do something. India could do it. So it's going to be an open tournament with four or six teams that could do well.
Yeah, India at home. I think it's going to be crazy, those stadiums. So don't underestimate the Indians.
No, I remember the game between Belgium and India at the last World Cup. Belgium was leading and they got crushed in the second half. And the same thing happened in the quarterfinal against the Dutch. The Netherlands really had difficulties against India. And now we're 4 years further. They have more experience. Yeah, I think for me, India, that was my outsider to win the tournament.
I agree.
Yeah. And South Africa.
South Africa as well. Okay.
Yep, there you go.
Sorry. No, but as Pascal said, Spain and England, Spain, new coach, England, they're always performing. Like the other day, I had a poll on my Instagram and it was like, is England surviving the group stage and then lose it in a crossover? Or do they actually make it further or make it to the semis? And a lot of people say like, England can make it further or semis or further.
Mm-hmm. So, but if they win their pool, they play, I think, Australia in the semis, no?
Yeah.
Or in the quarterfinal already.
Hmm. Yeah, in the quarterfinal. Yeah, but
I think if they win their pool, they're going to come up against Germany in the quarterfinals.
In the quarterfinal or Belgium.
If Germany comes second in their pool, and Belgium wins. So.
Yeah.
So England played really well against Australia at the Commonwealth Games semifinal. So it was a really, really close game. They performed. And the only worry I have is they played a good pro league so far, but they played with Team GB. Mm-hmm. So they go there with a lot of confidence, but they actually miss a few players.
And now they miss Jacob Draper, who's playing for Wales. And who are the other?
Shipperley, I think, also played for GB. So those are two midfielders who can make a difference in this team. So I don't know if they will make it.
No, and I like the way they play because they also want to play really offensive, a little bit like Australia, and they really play the inside channels with small combinations. But I find them sometimes a little bit naive, and they could have strong counters against them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put them just below the top four.
Well, they're quite young, no? Or am
and
I just?
Yeah.
Or is that something that just? Let's check. England. The average age is 27. So great age to play a tournament.
Yeah, but also the average of caps is for some players, like important players, quite low. For example, their keeper, he's 21, I think now.
Mm-hmm.
He played like 25 caps.
He's a good keeper.
He's a really good keeper.
Yeah.
He played the Euros and Olympics. Okay, that's two tournaments he played.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see, like World Cup is always a different,
it's
different kind of pressure. Same like Olympics.
Those are the two biggest tournaments. I think it's only once in a 4 year. It's so much bigger than a European Championship or a Pan American or Asia Cup. So England. No. Yeah, I think they. I agree with Pascal. I really like the way they play. They make it big teams very difficult, but I'd like to see them performing the same way at a World Cup or because it's different than Pro League. Everybody's prepared differently. I think the major teams like Australia, Belgium, Germany, I think they will tighten things up. Let's hope they play a great tournament. They have a nice team and they're in a cool pool with India, England, Spain, and Wales. Yeah, I think
that's really a tough pool to look through.
Yeah, is that the hardest pool in the tournament?
Well, yeah, I think personally, I think so. I think the other pools, you can have Belgium, Germany. That's going to be a crack of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Pool A, you've got, I think Australia should top that pool.
I think for me, Pool A is a close contender to be the hardest pool because normally Australia will win every game, and then it's Argentina, France, and South Africa have to battle. I don't think Argentina will go out, but still they have to play their level. They can't cruise through the pool, I guess. against France, it's difficult to play against them.
No, but I see them better than France. And I even think France will finish fourth.
Really?
Yeah. I think South Africa is I watched Nations League.
Yeah, the Nations Cup, yeah.
And Nations Cup. Yeah, France was a disaster. Yeah. And South Africa did really well.
Yeah.
And they have, in South Africa, they have really players that can make the difference, like Ntuli and the two Kasim brothers.
Yeah.
They're really... Sonny?
Can't forget Spooner.
Yeah, I can't forget
it's
Spooner.
It's one of Toby's best friends, so you have to...
No, but Spooner wasn't playing that tournament. So that's why I think South Africa will beat France.
But I think France, they were really struggling at the penalty corner at that tournament. They only had they only had 7 out of 33.
Yeah.
It's one out of five almost. That's not the level you like to see with a drag flicker like Victor Charlet. If they can manage that, I think they will win the game against South Africa on penalty corner, I guess.
But South Africa also has a good corner.
Yeah, and I think their goalkeeper at the moment, if it's Gawen, he's a good goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
So Charlet against Gawen. Gawen wasn't at the Nations Cup, so he's also got a thing to prove probably. And he knows the strength of the French PC, and that I think that's where the French team could beat South Africa if they score PCs. I don't see them scoring too many field goals the way they've been playing recently.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on with France? Because everybody said they were going towards Paris and they were going to be maybe a top six team in the world. And now they're starting to struggle a bit. What's going on with France? Why is their growth a bit, yeah? Why it stops?
Yeah. First of all, they have a new coach.
Yeah, different coach.
And
so you guys are saying that's why he isn't a good coach, or
that's for everybody else to judge. But just my opinion, like when he was the coach at Spain, Spain didn't perform like really well. They didn't play the classic way Spain is playing. Mm-hmm. Now this changed. Now he's at France. Since he's there, France is not performing that well.
Mm-hmm. Because they really wanted to win that Nations Cup because they wanted to
and they finished second last.
Yeah. So.
But they also had a couple of injuries at that Nations Cup.
So. I think they ended up fifth. But
yeah, they had injuries. They also had players who went out of the team.
Yeah, Bélanger is injured. Center defender. Yeah. He's out for a
Dumont stopped for the national team a year before.
Before the Olympics.
1.5 years before the Olympics. So there you have to question yourself, like, is there something going wrong?
Is there something rotten in the state of France?
Let's go.
No, but they come also from a coach, Jeroen Delmey, that brought a structure and a lot of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have completely the opposite. And so I think they're a little bit lost also. And of course they have some injuries in because some guys were even playing that Nations Cup with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were not full, but yeah, I think they're a little bit lost on structure.
Mm. Because on paper, I think they have a decent team. They really have a decent team on paper. Most of the players, I think only 4 of them plays in the French league and the other ones are playing in the Belgian league. Okay, maybe that's not the standard for everybody, but they're not just playing along in the Belgian league. They're
No, but if you watch the stats, Francis, and you think about the offensive part, well, which French player does score a lot of goals in a championship outside of Charlet?
Yeah.
I think that's the difference between really making impact in the league and just playing in the league and participating. And no offense
but that
to
midfield
the French
is making really an impact, no? Those players in the French midfield. With François Baumgarten.
These are two really good players. And you also have Charles Masson has a lot of experience and he's also a good one, but it's about scoring goals, eh?
Yeah.
It's about scoring goals and you can have a good structure and good players in the midfield, but you need to have strikers that can really make the difference and bring you a lot of things. And I think there they have a little bit,
And then why is Timothy Clement then out of the tournament? Because he's a striker. He's the world. What is his most talented player in the world?
Rising star.
That's the name. So he's only there for as a reserve player. He plays for your team, Pascal. Wasn't he? Didn't he have a great season so far?
He had a great season so far.
Okay.
For us, and of course, I want him to do better, and I think he can do better. He's still young, but okay, rising star. What does that mean? Eh? It's a big difference between rising star and top level internationally. Mm-hmm. But it's a choice of a coach, which, to be honest, I don't understand because I think the coach is not busy with stats. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying stats is everything, but if you watch the stats of what he brings in the Belgian championship, mm-hmm. then I would reconsider it. But I don't know.
How do you compose a team? It's like, okay, I have to have that many field goals. So I select players who are normally good for 5-6 field goals. Or is that not the way to compose a team for a tournament? Is that too much baseball? I need so many things.
I think you compose a team with first, what's your structure? What's your philosophy? And then who will play the best in that? Who do I see playing the best in that structure? And also the mentality. Eh? So I don't know which is the mentality of certain guys in the national team or mm-hmm. because it's also an important thing. You need to go to a tournament and you can't have troublemakers in your team. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
yeah, and with who is he getting replaced with? I guess it's one of the young guys.
Noé Juin
or Serrier. It's like two really young guys. One of them has 7 caps, the other one 17.
Yeah, but Serrier is quite okay, no?
Yeah, he's...
Serrier, he
plays in France.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And also he's the second flicker and he's the second postman. Mm-hmm. So when Masson is not on the field, he's normally the postman. He does it quite okay. And he's a second flicker. So now they're going to use who as a second flicker? Victor Lockwood.
But is this a wake up call for Timothée Clément? Was he slugging a bit with the French team?
Of course, I think it might be a good thing for him, eh? Because he's working with him and he has a reputation of being, a kind of
nonchalant.
No, people don't like him and to be honest somewhere I do understand a little bit, but
was it too much the star of the team already?
Yes but he is not like that. When you work with him, he is not like that, so it's a perception, you know. But yeah, you create your own perception, eh? So he knows he needs to work on that, but still you want to take the best also to a tournament. And yeah, I don't understand. I know they're not really happy with him. So, but that's it.
Okay.
I think Timo also just wants to win everything. He just wants to win, and you can come across sometimes self-centered, but it's just him wanting to win. And I think you have to have that. You have to be a winner. Otherwise, there's no point playing sport.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go jogging.
I mean, there's nothing wrong when you're a dickhead on the field. Like
Christopher Rüegg, check.
I know enough people who are like this, but off the field, they're really nice guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's for Pool A. So Australia will win it. Argentina will go through. Then France, South Africa. Is that the game to watch in that pool, just to see who's going through to the next round?
I mean, if France is getting their shit together, then
they can win against Argentina, I guess.
Yeah.
If they get their shit together.
They also can end up second. I mean, remember the Euros they played... when was it? Not the last one, but the one before. Mm-hmm. They also surprised everyone.
And at the World Cup, they were great 4 years ago.
At the World Cup, they were also good.
They lost
weren't they winning against Argentina in the World Cup? Well, they won?
5-3, I think.
Yeah. And they lost against Australia in the quarterfinal.
Yeah. So they can be a surprise, but then they really have to get their things together.
I think the nice thing for them is
perform much better.
They've got Australia first up, so they're going to come into South Africa playing a complete different rhythm and tempo than the South Africans probably will. And I think that works in the French advantage for that game.
Okay.
I think that's the game of that pool. It's a France, South Africa.
Yeah, or not, eh?
Or you get crushed by Australia.
Yeah, and then you have to win against South Africa.
Yep. And then you panic.
So they often have difficulties in the must-win games, eh, France?
Under pressure.
Yeah.
And you see they couldn't beat the Wales the last 2-3 years. Eh?
If they play against Australia and then they lose not with big numbers, I think they're through. I think goal average will count and it will be in their favor. And they have a good structure. Normally,
do they?
Yeah, they have France. Normally, it's a difficult team to play against.
They have good midfield, but also the defenders, they're not the greatest ones. Eh?
Still so young.
And the keeper, sorry. But
yeah. Yeah, it's not the best. That's true. Yep. Okay. France and Africa, Pool A. Nice.
Good luck.
Good luck. So that brings us to Pool B. That brings us to Pool B. We talked about it already. Belgium, Germany, South Korea, and Japan. So it will be normally will go between Belgium and Germany for the first place. That's the second game of the second game in that pool. Belgium against Germany. Is that the best game in the pool?
The best game in any pool out of all the pools.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or do you see another matchup which is which has more history, more
England Wales?
England, yeah, but England Wales will be a nice game. But for people just who love hockey, I think Belgium Germany will be great.
It especially can also be a really, really shit game. Yeah, but 0-0.
Yeah, but what happened last time? There was some arguments on the field, and I thought it was really a bit playful and cocky. But apparently, it was really the Belgians and the Germans. They really wanted to fight. they were really
a lot of things happened in this game.
That's history you take along, and I think maybe you know better as a German, Tobias. What happened in that game in Argentina? Because I saw Tombon smashing somebody down.
That was at the end of the game, but there were like a lot of little physical things going on, trying to hit players with the ball and stuff like this on purpose, hitting hard and high.
I think that's Rue, no? Rue did it. Didn't he try to hit the ball at somebody?
Yes. You couldn't see it on TV, but you hear stories. And also I have a little video where Belgium has a PC. The first runner had to go out, walks past Doquier and gives him a little shoulder, and then Bohn scores. Also unnecessarily, like stepping over the second runner, celebrating in his face, and there's a little crowding, a little pushing.
And therefore that game is going to be awesome.
That's nice.
Yeah. And for Germany, I think Belgium is their Angstgegner for the last couple of years.
Angstgegner.
I'm looking for the English word, but
nemesis. Nemesis. No, but you're right. In the last years, or in a lot of big tournaments, all the knockout games we played, or they played, Belgium won.
Yeah.
So that's why I think. Germany will end up first in the group and win the game against Belgium in the group.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's because also Germany is not like, that's the German mentality when you go to a tournament. It's not like, let's maybe become second to avoid this team into any knockout games. That's not the mentality. You just go along with it. You just want to get into a rhythm. You want to beat a good team to be ready for what's coming after.
And this time around, you definitely want to become a pool winner, because normally you will avoid Australia until the final. So, and Belgium really wants to become, wants to win that pool as well. That's Michel van Heuvel, the Belgian coach. He said before the tournament, we want to win that pool. So it's really an objective for that team.
I think every team wants to win that pool.
Last time around, they didn't mind to become second. When they ended up behind India, they didn't really mind. I think this time around they will. And what about South Korea and Japan? Korea is Asian champion, although they won a tournament where India played only with their second team, the team of Sardar. They came along with the second team.
Well, if Belgium and Germany are drawing, it will come to goal difference. Mm-hmm. So those games are important, and you have Germany starts with Japan. Mm-hmm. And as a first game of a tournament, tournament is a little bit always a little bit harder to win. But then I think
because everybody's still motivated.
For the top teams.
It depends if you're in the third game and you already lost by six every other way, then maybe that third game is a bit is the one too much. But the first one, still.
Yeah, but also for the top teams, it's you can't do mistakes. You have to really win it, and you have to be in tournament directly. So it's always a little bit more more pressure. Mm-hmm. But I think as a starter, it's better to start with Japan than with Korea. I rate Korea better than Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Korea have a quite experienced drag flicker. I don't know how many caps he's played, but he's been there for 100 years. He's a good drag flicker. The way they play, it's not too flashy. They keep it nice and simple. So I see Korea beating Japan, ending third in that pool.
Yeah. Jong Yong Yang, that's his name.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, and he scored two goals against Belgium and in Spain.
Yeah.
So, but okay, Belgium played and Germany played those two teams in Spain. Mm-hmm. So they have enough information how to play them, and Korea is quite, they play back five the whole game and they don't change.
So that was a preseason tournament. What did they do in Spain?
Yeah, that was in Cadiz in December. They played each other
on the mud pitch.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many teams really played fully during that tournament.
Yeah.
It's not really a preparation tournament if you go there and you're afraid of getting injured or.
But still.
No. I mean, Germany beats Japan 11-1.
Yes.
I watched if they played serious, they could have beat them 11-0. True.
Okay. So, and everybody sees Korea going through as number three in the pool or.
Yeah.
Japan is the youngest team in the tournament. They're quite inexperienced. They changed their team after the Olympics, and
yeah. And I watched them at the Nations Cup.
They're not.
They crap.
Okay.
No, they're really crap.
Okay.
They're crap. Sorry.
Okay. There goes our relationships with Japan. Then Pool C. Interesting pool with the Netherlands, New Zealand, Malaysia, and Chile. Yeah, the Netherlands are clear favorites to win the pool. Kev, you made a prediction. You said Netherlands will go through, then New Zealand, Malaysia, and Chile.
Yep. No, I think Malaysia will beat Chile. They have to take care of Chile. They have quite a good drag flicker if he hits the target.
Amoroso, right?
Excuse me?
Amoroso. Juan Amoroso.
Yeah, myself and names, pronouncing names is not
okay, yeah, but people want to learn people for the tournament, so therefore you have to...
He plays for Ekkel, eh?
Yeah, he plays for Ekkelsport in Belgium.
Yeah, he has a good drag flick.
Eh? He has a good drag flick. So I think...
Yeah.
I think Malaysia third.
I think Malaysia has a chance against New Zealand as well. Toby, you're nodding. Explain.
Yes, Malaysia is a really uncomfortable team to play against.
Like, yeah, it's a different style.
Maybe they win the pool.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, well, they got their first game against the Netherlands. They go there with absolutely nothing to lose. I also find the Netherlands playing quite stock standard in a back five and not doing too much interesting things. So you never know, but okay, the chances are really, really slim that Malaysia could win that pool, I think.
What would that bring? That then they will meet. Imagine if they win the pool, they play in a quarterfinal against the number two of Pool A, Argentina. Normally,
Argentina, France, or South Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, but honestly,
Malaysia, and New Zealand.
The last World Cup.
That's a game for me.
The last World Cup. There was a period of 1 year before the World Cup where Malaysia didn't concede a straight penalty corner.
What? What? That's wow.
They just conceded variations or rebounds, but not a straight PC.
So they're suicide runners.
They have two suicide runners, and they have 10 of them in the team who would die before they concede a goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the keeper is standing on the right post. So it's really, really difficult to score against them on PC.
Mm-hmm.
And if they play their first game against the Netherlands, as you said, the first game is a difficult one. Malaysia, they're used to the temperatures and everything. It still plays a role, I think, also, although everybody's in India often enough and used to it, but...
Well, and I like the way they play.
They conceded a couple of PCs against South Korea. I think it was in the...
Yeah.
So there they have, and I don't think their PC defense has been really good building up to the World Cup. If they can fix it, I think great, and they got some really surprising players there. They're quite quick and they're nimble. Mm-hmm. Hard to play against, so you never know.
And they're with their captain Rahim Razi as the most, I think, the most famous player of the team. No, or
most famous player is Faisal Zaghi.
Faisal Zaghi,
in Germany for a long time.
Okay,
he's playing in the Netherlands now.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I like the way they play Malaysia. It's just so different than we are used to here in Europe. I really love it.
It's like India.
Yeah.
I think at the Nations Cup they had 5-6 injuries to key players.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a couple of them back now for World Cup. So yeah, curious to see what they can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Chile, first time they're around at the World Cup. They won against the United States on shootouts in the semifinals of the Pan American, and that's why they're at the World Cup. And yeah, good for them. Last pool. So that's the pool of death for most of us. India, England, Spain, and Wales. India favorite as the host nation. And as for, I think for, yeah, it's my dark horse for the tournament. So for me, their favorites to win this pool.
Yeah, by far.
By far? Okay.
By far.
From that pool?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because the first matchup is India-Spain. And Spain won against India in the Pro League. And they, I think they won the first and the second one they drew. So in India. That's
yeah, but they're playing home, the crowd, the temperature, like
the pressure. Maybe will the pressure on India be too big for them? Because this generation, they have to. It's the last generation who played hockey India League. The next generation does not have that experience.
Yeah, I think the expectation is quite big from the Indians for them to mm-hmm. do something special. I could be wrong. I think they had a good Commonwealth Games. So I think they think if there's a tournament to win a medal or to get into the final, it's this one. So mm-hmm. huge expectation from the Indians. At their clash against Spain, I think Max has also brought a different culture into the way the Spanish are playing. So I mm-hmm. think that game is going to be really interesting.
Okay. So India, England. Yeah, it's so open, this pool. It's because I can see India lose against Spain and against England as well. I can see that.
It can happen, yeah. Yeah, but the home crowd, you know, you can be stressed a little bit, but as soon as you're on the field and after 5 minutes you have the crowd behind you supporting you, it helps. Eh?
Yeah. It helps. And especially the Indian crowd, because every time you're on an attack, they yeah. cheer so loud and they really push you forward, yeah.
Yeah, and used to the conditions. Yeah. It's also a big one. Eh? You talk about two European teams. Mm-hmm. Not used to that. Mm-hmm. So, and Spain maybe a little bit more, but still.
I can't see Jack Waller enjoying the sun too much.
But it's winter, so.
Yeah, okay, but still.
UV index is quite low.
Yeah.
And then you have Wales. Huh? Their biggest game is against England. So they actually can fuck up England.
I think that's just a big grudge match.
They go there to just fuck up England.
Yeah. Yeah, they have nothing to lose in the tournament.
Zero. Wow.
Yeah. Zero.
It's also the first time for them they go there.
Yeah, just enjoy.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the open pool. Yeah, very curious. It opens with England against Wales. So it's going to be a big game. For me, the surprise for the tournament will be, I think, India is going to be my dark horse, and maybe a surprise Malaysia if they win against New Zealand. They can make a nice tournament, and then they play probably who they play normally? Yeah, a team from
Spain, England, or India. Team from the pool of death.
That's cool. Nice. So. Imagine Malaysia, India in a crossover. That's going to be massive. No, it's going to be an open game going back and forth all the time. And then probably India will win on with a penalty corner from
Imagine Malaysia beat India in the crossovers. You have empty stadiums for the rest of the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
I would more go for Malaysia winning the pool and waiting for Argentina in the quarterfinals.
Nice. Okay. Okay. Who's going to be, for me? So Malaysia is going to be maybe the surprise of the tournament. Any other countries we might expect?
I'm going to throw South Africa in there. I have to.
Okay.
I think they have such surprising players. If they can get it right, it's an unpredictable team. They have a new coaching staff that's working there. They've had such a poor preparation that could work in their favor. Oh. And they've got some
because
really.
They had actually no preparation.
There was zero preparation.
Okay, because the preparation camp, the training camp has been cancelled. Yeah. Everybody just flies to India and then let's start over there.
They met each other at the hotel, and we'll see what happens. I think they've got some really world class players, and if they can if they can get out their pool stage well, then they'd come up against either Germany or Belgium. The last time South Africa played against Germany, I think they did win. So if they play against each other, that's going to be an absolute humdinger of a game.
But South Africa, I think what you saw in the last Pro League last season when they played Pro League, they became better during the season. When they got used to the rhythm, they really became a nice team to watch and a difficult team to beat. But now they have no preparation. They start this tournament, and after three games, it's already done. I think that's in their disadvantage.
No, but they also come out of a tournament, Nations Cup, that they won. Mm-hmm. So they're quite confident. Mm-hmm. They change certain things in the structure. So, yeah, for me, it's about having a control on your emotions, because I find sometimes they lose their control, the emotions. And it's a little bit the same with the you talked about the German and Belgium team. Okay, there was something happening in the previous game, but I think the coaching staff will also say, listen, guys, we can't go there, you know? So, and it's the same with South Africa. And when you have South Africa and France and Argentina, the three teams that can really
explode,
that can explode on emotions. So that's why I find it interesting. But
yeah, but that South African team, I think if they could get their defensive shape right, they're always going to score a couple of goals, one or two.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think they really struggle defensively. And if they can get a good, solid defensive shape up and going, yeah, then I think they could cause upset somewhere along the line. I'm not saying they're going to win a tournament, but I'm really curious to see what they can do.
What was the last time they won a game at the World Cup?
Come on, Kev.
No. It's been a long time. I think they haven't won in 2018. 2014, I think they didn't win a game neither. So it's been a long time for them to just win a game at the World Cup.
So it's about time.
And they won a game at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against Germany.
Yeah, that's true.
When did Belgium last win a World Cup? 2018.
Yeah.
And before that?
Never. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but
you got to start somewhere, so it doesn't really.
Okay.
No, but I agree. I find they have some the two brothers, they're really special, and if they find the freedom to play, they really can hurt teams. Mm-hmm. And of course, now at Nations Cup, they play without Spooner, that will bring more control.
Ntuli.
Yeah, but he's again the offensive. Variations, and then you have the guy at the back there, the flicker.
He's not playing.
He's not playing.
No, he's not there. So they have the same defense.
Okay, then forget
Schomp's not playing.
No.
Bukamp.
Guys Brown, you're thinking of.
Guys Brown, okay. I was talking about Guys Brown.
Because Beauchamp, he's a direct flicker, right?
Yeah, well, he's a good flicker when he hits a target.
I saw him score a goal in the Pro League against Belgium. Rocket in the top corner. Damn. Yeah,
he flicks the ball really hard, but he's not accurate enough. If you look, I think they scored one PC at the Nations Cup, and it was a rebound. For the rest, they missed the target, and it was not good enough. So
yeah, but if he reaches targets so hard, damn. So that's your dark horse, South Africa. Toby, your dark horse, your surprise for the tournament?
Malaysia
as well. Okay, Pascal,
England,
yeah. Nice team, yeah.
And you got India, Flores.
No, yeah. That's my dark horse, but not really the surprise because everybody expects India a bit. Yeah. So my surprise was Malaysia, and my dark horse win the tournament is India because it can go both ways with them. They can go out in the pool, but I don't think so. They have a strong drag flicker with Harman Preet.
Yeah,
they have experience right now. The midfield is quite okay. I think last they won a medal at the Olympics. Yeah, they're one of the they can go all the way for me. But then they have to be a bit lucky in the quarter of the semis. If they don't, who will India play in the quarter in the semis normally?
If they win their pool, they're going to quarterfinals against Belgium. Possibly Germany, Belgium. And then semifinals would be against Australia.
Yeah. No. They should become second in the pool. I don't think Belgium or Germany or Australia like to play India early in the tournament. I don't think so.
I don't think any teams like to play against India.
No.
Yeah. They're also so chaotic and they just run at you all the time. So it's constantly getting attacked.
When they play in India, you're never done. even if you're leading by two or three, they still come at you until the end. If you play abroad, then the game's over. But they will play until the final second, and yeah, they won't hold back. So it's for me, yeah.
But do you really think, maybe that's a question for you, for a coach, Pascal, like, do you really mind who you're playing at the World Cup once you're out of the group stage? Because
no, you have to win every game, that's for sure. But I think in a quarterfinal, you'd rather play.
Would you look to avoid a team and on purpose become second?
No, you can't.
No,
you can't. Then you always have to play all your games fully, and in a World Cup, you can't start to count and to say we're going to lose one, then we play that one in the quarter.
And it bites you in the ass.
Yeah.
Or to on purpose become second, to have this rhythm with another crossover game, to stay in a rhythm, to
because
keep
last
the momentum
time,
going.
Belgium and the Netherlands, both finalists, they played the crossover because they became second in the pool.
But what was the last game? I remember there was a game like that where, was it Belgium against, I think it was England maybe? When there was a result that a draw would have been favorable for both teams. In the last 10 minutes of the game, both teams just started walking around on the field.
I can't remember what game
that was, but it was just really boring to watch. So I think we'll never do that.
I mean, there can be games which are just boring.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Not in the World Cup. Go on.
No, hopefully not. Okay. Other topics to talk about. Players to watch. Yeah, I love that one. Kev, I'm really interested in which players you want to watch. You really are looking forward to.
Yeah, for me it says Kasim Brothers. Okay. I really find them interesting on the ball. Pascal mentioned earlier the discipline. If they can keep their heads, I think those are two players to watch. Their skill set is incredible. Mustafa, the one who's playing a little bit deeper in the field, his distribution and vision really top. And the other player, it's a cliche, but Antoine Kina.
Okay.
I think if the Belgians are to get a result, I think he's a player that could do something for that team.
Yeah, because he's going to do something unpredictable.
Something. And he had to say this.
Yeah. And what?
He had to say it.
No, but I like the way Ant plays. It's no secret. I think he's really special. And if he's on form, I think he also made a big difference when he joined the World Cup late in 2018. Mm-hmm. So I think if he can bring something to the table, he's really interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Hopefully he just goes forward as much as possible.
Okay. Tobias, you're in doubt?
No, I agree to this. Yeah. There are not like crazy surprises in selections, or like there are a few, but maybe a player to watch is Zach Wallace from England. Because he performed really well in Hofklasse. He performs really well for England.
Exciting player to watch.
Exciting player to watch. He's still really young and he's doing really well. So look out for him.
Okay. Other players are only Zach Wallace.
Yeah, the Kasim brothers.
What about Germany? Is there one particular player for Germany you really like to see?
Niklas Wellen.
Niklas Wellen, okay.
Yeah, because striker, also after the time he played at Pinoquet and now back in Germany for his home club.
Krefeld, right? No.
Yes, exactly. He's extremely good and he grew so much over the last years. And he was always a part of the German team.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now he made another step and is really a game changer.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best strikers in the world right
Definitely,
now.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Pascal.
I have some players that I will follow a little bit to see what they will do. And one is Christopher Ruhr. Because I find him an amazing player, but he doesn't have all the time big impact on the results. And he also comes to, I don't know how old he is, but
I think he's end of the 20s. Well, let's check.
Because he's one also, he needs to have a result at one stage in his career. And so
29 he's already.
Yeah, 29. Eh? Oh. So he might have to make a switch in that tournament and then to say, okay, now I need to really do something. Otherwise, I finish my international career with zero result. So, and I find him individually really good, but so I'm curious how he's going to react. That's why I find it interesting to follow him. And then the other one is in Spain is Canil. It's the flicker from Spain.
Pepe or Pau? They have two cognacs.
Yeah, the first one.
Pepe.
Yeah, Pepe. Because he has good flick, but I don't know how good he really is. It's a hard one. But is there enough fake on it, you know? And also, as a player, I don't rate him really high. So which impact will he have on the team by having just on the field and being just a flicker? Because as a player, he's not really that good. So it's a little bit like Argentina when they play with Tolini. You have a guy there on the field just to flick. And he's defensively slow and he's not a big defender. So the same, Kunnel is a little bit the same player. So does it have an impact on their results or not? So I'm curious to follow that a little bit.
I think it's a bit pity that Max Caldas for Spain didn't select Villalonga. He got selected as a reserve player, but he's a young, talented player, and I really love to see him play. He was good at the Euros under 21. He was good at the Pro League. I think it's pity for me as a hockey fan that he's just a reserve player for Spain.
Yeah, but maybe he's a little bit too unpredictable for the coach also. So that's.
Yeah, and also if you say he's good at under 21s is like, to be honest, no one gives a shit about under 21s because you play men's hockey.
Okay.
And yeah, if he's performing at under 21s, that by far doesn't mean that you're a good hockey player on international men's level.
He made some impact as well in the Pro League.
There's no pressure. Pro League is no pressure.
Okay.
Pro League is for them. It's not a fun tournament, but it's like you use it for preparation. But if you lose, you lose. Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah.
From next year on, you have to care because that's your Olympic qualifier.
Yeah.
It's nice. I think if you do it properly, you use it for preparation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what they do. Yeah. Not all of them, but
no. All
the and in the end, if you are in reach to win the tournament, you just.
Yeah,
you put some travel on it and then win the tournament. Players I wrote down to watch, of course, because nobody talks about Australians. Tom Craig, Blake Govers, like to see them. Blake Govers because he's having a good season at Dragons in Belgium. I think he can have more impact on the Australian team than that he had in the past, not only in with his rack flicks, but also in his playing style. I think it's going to be, really looking forward to Blake Govers. They have a great team, of course. You can name 6-7 players for Australia, players you like to watch. But
And in the series against India, he scored a lot of goals.
Yeah.
And then he was injured at one stage.
And then they lost.
And then, no, they didn't lose, but they really had difficulties to score.
Noted Bandrek for England. He's already 30 years old, but only made his England debut last season, I guess, in the Pro League. Scored a bunch of goals, which he did in the English League for years. I'm really, really looking forward if he can do it on this stage as well, because like everybody says, Pro League, less pressure. Now you have to. So really, really looking forward if he can be that prolific goal scorer England needs. So
he looks like a guy who's not impressed by other players. Like,
but when you're already 30 years old and you play your first major tournament, maybe that's I don't know. Like you say, it looks like a guy who's just enjoying being part of the team and just.
But in the last Pro League games, in Argentina, wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was before, probably also a little bit of surprise on who's that. You know, you play with a lot of freedom, but I found, and it was in Argentina, and they are, I was expecting him because I also like to watch him, but couldn't see him there too much.
Okay. Who to watch in the Welsh team? Do you know Daniel Kyriakides? He plays for Club Ander Alster.
Is he still playing there?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know him personally. I know that he was or is playing there. I don't know if he's a player with a huge impact. The one I know who is having a big impact is Draper, who played at Wiscott.
And
Shipperley. And I mean, you saw how big their impact is on the GB team.
Yeah.
And they're both guys like, they're dickheads on the field. They smile in your face, eh? But on the other side, they fuck you over. And that's how you have to be.
On the field or off the field?
Off the field, he's an amazing guy.
Draper.
Yes. Right. Really good guy. But yeah, so I have high hopes in these two, mm-hmm. To see some nice hockey. And, Gareth Furlong. Draper. Good drag flicker. Yeah. Showed it with, Surbiton in EHL when they won their bronze medal there. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, they really can upset, a team in their group.
Okay. Do we have another topic, Kev, because you're the man who's managing all these things?
Well, not really. I think the other thing I wanted to have a chat about was the amount of average caps per team. Does that really have an impact on the tournament? It's something we talk about, yeah, Pascal, we talk about quite often. I mean, what's your guys' opinion on the average caps per team? And
yeah, I think experience is so important in a tournament like this, because especially in hockey, because the international level is so much higher than it is in leagues, in club competitions. So I think you need a decent amount of games played at this level to compete eventually to compete for the medals. So therefore, I think it's important to have a certain amount of caps played by every player, just to be used.
You look
to
at the Belgium team, they got an average of 206 caps.
Which is ridiculous.
That's completely ridiculous.
But they also play...
But John
I find they play more caps than other countries. Huh?
Yeah, because probably they select every
game they play against a different country, they make it an official cap.
Yep.
Like they get a tournament official, they register it at the FIH or EHF, so... That costs money, but they are willing to do that. Other nations, they are not doing this. I know it with Germany. Most of the games are practice games. They are not official caps. Why? Because you play with 20.
Yeah.
Well, you try out a bit more. You substitute a bit more.
Yeah.
And also, don't forget, like, there are countries where players are injured a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So they miss out on a lot of caps. Maybe they skip a small tournament, or they skip the Pro League travel to, I don't know where, to Australia,
I have the feeling
New Zealand.
Germans skip a lot of tournaments because due to studies or stuff like that, and they bring in other players. And in the end, for the World Cup and the Olympics, they bring in their best team with players who didn't play that many tournaments.
For example, if you look at Rühr and if you look at Gramusch,
Mats.
If they were struggling also with some some injuries, so they missed out on quite a few games. If these guys would have played the last 10 years, like every game, like Tobi Hauke did, like he never missed out on an official game. That's why he has the most caps in Germany. And then these guys would be much higher in their caps.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, due to injuries. And it also can happen that it's with other nations like this.
Mm-hmm. Because Mats Grambusch, he only has 177 caps for Germany.
He could be at least on 250.
Yeah, if he would have played for Belgium, he would have been on 300, I guess.
Yeah,
He wouldn't have been injured.
Yeah, yeah.
So same with Rühr. I mean, they both played their first big tournament 2013. Euros in Belgium.
Yeah. Which they won.
Imagine it. Over 10 years, 170 caps. It's not a lot, eh?
No, not at all.
Over the last 10, maybe 12 years, John Domen has 438.
John, he already plays for 20 years for the national team. So
20?
No, I think 18 already. He started when he was 16 or 15, and he has 438 caps for Belgium. Yeah.
It's going to get to 500.
17 more games, or 60 more games. That 500, I don't think so.
Yeah, but it's interesting because if you watch the average, they often talk about you need to have at least 100 caps to perform well in your national team. And then when you see now Belgium 206, Australia 132, India 114, and okay, from the
Netherlands,
Germans,
only 63.
Yeah, and from the Germans, we know they miss out some tournaments. Well, you have almost your top four there. Right?
Yeah, and I think there's England. You see? England, I've just put the England caps in here. So they also got their GB caps.
Oh, wait, I have those.
The average is slightly higher than that.
England, let me check. England is 93 average.
93.
That's a decent amount.
That's yeah. Toby's team, eh?
Malaysia.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, because now when you watch and they have the average of 105 caps, that means they have some experience, eh?
Yeah.
So,
and their average age is only 27. So they have quite a lot of caps per age.
Yep. Yeah.
And who has the least average?
Spain.
Spain. I think they only have four or five players who played at the last World Cup. So they have a totally different team for it's. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, and he and Max used a lot of players the last year, a lot.
But do you think he's building towards Paris, or is he, because if he's using so many new players, is this World Cup just a stepping stone towards the Paris Olympics?
Yeah, the same for the Netherlands, I guess.
Yeah, okay, but the Netherlands can't ever say that they're building.
No, but
The Netherlands want to win something.
Imagine the Netherlands. if the Netherlands go out in a tournament, even in the crossover, I don't think they will sack Jeroen Delme. I think they really have a program towards Paris. If Belgium goes out in the quarterfinal, I think Michel van der Heuvel will be sacked. I think that's a difference. No?
Yeah, and same with Max Caldas, he won't be sacked.
No.
And Fred
because Spain also lost a lot of.
Is there any besides India and Belgium? Is there any other country where the team has to perform, otherwise the coach will be sacked?
India coach will be sacked. Right.
Belgium.
If France gets kicked out in the first crossover, coach is gone.
I can't see him.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He has a contract till Paris, and apparently they really go with him till Paris. He's a French guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unbelievable, but that's the way. The French Federation is Argentina, not the most professional federation that you have, and those guys.
Okay.
I still would put my money on that if they get kicked out in the first crossover, he's gone.
Okay. No, but anything to add on the topic on average caps, on average ages, or yeah? I think if you
need a certain amount of caps on major tournaments.
Yeah,
it's not maybe about the amount of caps you play throughout the year with practice games or whatever. You need to have experience in like a major tournament, like Olympics, World Cup,
European Cup,
or okay. Continental Championship.
Then you're talking about India, Belgium, Germany,
Australia,
those
Malaysia.
Teams. Malaysia. Yeah, but Malaysia, they played the World Cup last time, and it wasn't their best World Cup. They played some fun hockey, but in the end,
it's about time.
Yeah, and they didn't play the Olympics.
I mean, if you put your money now on Malaysia to win the World Cup, you make serious money. Yeah?
Okay.
What are the odds, Toby?
What are the odds?
51 for Malaysia winning the World Cup.
Okay, so you already put on 10 euros.
They're even below Wales.
What?
Like Wales is 41 to win the World Cup. France, 31.
I think France and South Africa are the same.
To win.
Okay. Well, okay. Anything to add? Anything you guys prepare to talk about? Or
Kevin asked me for like a controversial.
Yeah, fun fact of the
fun
day.
Fact.
Something interesting.
It's not a fun fact. It's more like something
some
I am worried about is the umpire level in general. I mean,
in the Belgium league.
Also. No, but in general, like you saw it at the Pro League games, also during Commonwealth games, it was shocking. Seriously, like they use the video referral for everything as an excuse because they couldn't see it properly. And then even the video umpires making crazy mistakes changing games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really curious how they are going to handle this. And if the FIH or the EHF, they actually have an idea how to educate the umpires or bring them a bit more forward, because our sport is developing so quickly. Like every year it's getting better and better and better. But I have the feeling the umpires are not able to follow this. And I guess we're going to see a lot of cards.
Mm-hmm.
And quite some wrong decisions during this World Cup. I don't know how you see it, but
yeah, I think
just looking back to the Commonwealth Games and the Pro League, it was shocking.
Often when you're using a video umpire, I can make the decision faster as they do. Because, okay, I have no pressure. I just say, I don't think it's a foul. I think it's a foul. But they really have to make a decision. So they check everything, maybe too much. But I think video umpiring has to go quicker. They already have to check the action before they go to video umpiring. They already have to know, okay, for me, it's because they know on a pitch, okay, this is a bit doubtful. I already check it before the players or the umpire on the field goes to the video umpire.
I think the umpires shouldn't be allowed to take a video referral when they're not sure. They should just make a decision and they stick to decision.
Mm-hmm.
If then players disagree, they can take their video. If they lose it, they lose it. And that's why we have this decent system of our video referral. Like in football, yeah, it can take up to 5 minutes until the umpire gets a call from somewhere. Yeah, you have to check the situation again.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many discussions about this.
But I think
we have a good rule. The mm-hmm. players can ask for a video, period. Why does an umpire have to stop the time and say, I want to see if the PC was stopped outside or not?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be their call. They decide.
Okay.
Therefore, we have two umpires on the field. And the umpires also can follow the game a bit more. The other one doesn't have to stand 75 meters on the other side.
But you're saying that the video referrals make the umpires a bit lazy, Toby?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Because they, remember they refer game, everything where they're not sure about. Yeah. And that's not the game.
I remember a game from the European Championships in 2019. It was in Antwerp. Yeah. The game took 28 minutes longer than it's supposed to because there was one umpire who did not make any decision on the field. He said, okay, I didn't see anything, go to the video umpire. So every time there was something going on in that circle, we went to video umpiring. And that's not the way you should manage a game as an umpire. You just make decisions. If they're wrong, they're wrong. Okay, but make a decision. Yeah.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I think there's also some very good umpires out there, but yeah. It's too inconsistent. One umpire is blowing a complete different rule to the other umpire. And if you look at just the high ball or the aerial ball, that rule is going to be a complete disaster for the first couple of games of the tournament. I think that's something they have to sort out straight away. Otherwise, you're going to have a lot, as Toby said, a lot of cards. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, so maybe it's something we can speak about and have an umpire of the day after every, okay. every day.
Yeah, but also you have to take the best ones, eh? The guys with the most experience and also not having all the time women's umpiring. I found the only woman that can umpire is Delphine de... Lorine Delfoche. She's the only one. The rest doesn't have the level to manage a men's game. They don't have the level, and it's not a critique, but they don't have it. They don't have the experience to match to manage those games. And Lorine is a special one. But I see a lot of games in the Pro League where you think, "What is this?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's normal. I don't know why we have to do that.
Equally amazing.
Yeah, but okay, I'm not against, totally not, but.
Everybody has to reach the level. If it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman.
You need to take the best ones. That's why I'm saying Lorine is the only one that for me in all the games, and I'm watching all the games all the time. And she's the only one that has, the level to empower a men's game.
Okay.
Who is the one to judge who are the best?
The FIH don't have
a fucking clue about this. The EHF, they say like, yeah, equally amazing. What are they doing for it? Not a lot.
Yeah, nothing.
And but who should be the ones there to judge who are the best umpires?
But like, how many former players are umpires?
Opinion about good umpires. For me, a good umpire is a one you can talk to in a decent way, and who is trying to let a game flow properly. And not stop it every time.
I think the best umpire I ever had was John Wright from South Africa. He was great. You could always have a good conversation with him. I remember making a mistake and he turned around and laughed at me and directly said, okay, well, I'm not going to make any comments to that umpire because I also make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And back on that equally amazing point, I just speak about the Belgium league. If we want to push the ladies umpires to umpire in the men's division, well, we still need some quality umpires in the ladies division. That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. But how many former players on a high level are umpires? If you watch rugby, all those umpires played at a high level. Most of them were international players in the youth divisions. So
this all goes hand in hand. Eh? Mm-hmm. Like first of all, in rugby they earn more money as umpires. Eh?
Okay, but yeah, still.
Yes, in football they also earn shitloads of money. Mm-hmm. But so it's
do
not,
it for the love of the not, game, it's Tobias. Not Tobias.
It's not attractive enough to become an umpire. And also, if you bring up the example from rugby, from day one, there's a certain respect towards an umpire. But why is there respect? Because they're also good. Mm-hmm. In hockey, you don't have this. You don't have the same amount of respect towards an umpire like they have in rugby because they're also not on the same level. How many umpires played on a division hockey?
Yeah, but that's so you have to recruit umpires
to get 50 euros on the weekend get shouted on by 22 guys.
I understand. 10 years ago, players didn't get paid as well. They just played for the love of the game, and umpires did the same. So yeah, I see money sometimes as a problem, but do it for the love of the game. You know,
it became a problem.
Okay.
Because they're spending their free time, and I totally understand.
But maybe
totally
FIH
when people are shouting at you, you don't want to do it.
And maybe FIH just have to employ like 15 umpires professionally for 1 year, and they
have to umpire all the international games around the world.
Yeah, why not? Maybe 15 is too. It's not enough, but
it's not enough.
But it's a start. Maybe then you have professional umpires, and for the major tournaments, for the big games, and. And then you have a talent pool with people who want to become umpire and just pair them up for other games. Yeah,
there are umpires. I know in Belgium there are umpires who are striving to go to honor division, but they are limited. Like they have to wait a year in umpire that amount of games in under 16, but they would actually like to grow quicker, but there are no possibilities. Mm-hmm. So.
Because they have to follow a certain procedure and there's no one that's kind of earmarked or they can follow a simple pathway to get there. If you wanted to umpire, Toby, I don't think you could be an honor division umpire next year. Although you could do it, they would still make you start in a division and do
start a couple under of courses. Eight.
Yeah, start under eight. So 2030, you can be a honor division umpire. If you're not a coach of a national team by then.
We will see.
Okay. Guys, anything else for the start of the tournament? Or
Nope. First game, Argentina, South Africa. Looking forward to it.
We all do, no? So that was our first episode. Many to follow during the World Cup. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Tobias Walter. Thank you, Kevin and Martinez. Thank you, Pascal Kina. And let's meet up another time. Bye.
Okay, cheers.
Bye-bye.